Then another way to look at karma, okay, we're just taking the subject of karma here and looking at it from a whole bunch of different ways. So none of these ways are separate things. They're just different ways of cutting the pie. And by cutting the pie different ways, we understand the pie better. Okay? So another way of cutting the pie is to talk about definite karma and indefinite karma. Okay? And when Amchok Rinpoche was here, I was asking him, because it's always puzzling, because I heard so many different examples, and I said, what really is the difference between definite and indefinite karma? And this was the time when he was trying to make his travel arrangements to go to San Francisco, and he kept changing his mind all the time. And so he said to me, definite karma is like when you have your flight and you have the ticket and it's confirmed. And indefinite karma is kind of like what we're doing now. It's like lots of change of plans here. Okay? And I think that's a really nice way of putting it, okay? Definite karma is karma which has a certain amount of potency, so it's pretty strongly going towards a specific goal. I mean, of course any karma can be purified. You know, nothing's fixated and cast in concrete, but, you know, because I said to Rinpoche, even when he said that, you know, that definite karma is like when you have the ticket and it's confirmed, I said, yeah, but you can still change your mind. You know, so any kind of karma can be purified, but definite karma is pretty strongly going towards a specific goal. Whereas indefinite karma, again, there's more leeway in exactly how it ripens, when it ripens, what result it brings, whether it's a strong result or a weak result, something like this. Okay, so definite karma in general has, again, all four factors complete in it. Okay? And it might be, you know, like I was saying, definite karma, you're kind of pretty strongly going in a certain way, but again, it can be influenced. So for example, remember when we were talking about purification, I was telling you that when you start to purify, you might experience negative things happening. And I told you the story about that nun that got the big boil on her on her cheek, and that sometimes when people go to their first meditation courses at Nepal, you know, everybody gets sick, everybody gets the cold and the flu. And I really feel like it's some kind of purification going on, you know, that as soon as you really start to engage in the practice, often what's happening is some of the karma that was definite, you know, let's say definite to it be born in the hell realm for X number of eons, then by the force of your dharma practice right now, it ripens and you get the flu, or you get a boil, or you get depressed, or, you know, something like this happens. Yeah? You feel sick or something like that. Okay? So, in that case, it's like a definite karma, but by the power of your practice, you're altering it, and it's ripening now in a comparatively small suffering, compared to what it could have ripened as if you hadn't done any purification and it had remained as that definite karma kind of going strongly towards a specific goal. Okay? So that's some examples of definite karma and, you know, how it's getting altered. Okay, let's see. Yeah, if somebody has definite karma, let's say definite karma to be born as a dog and definite karma to be born as a human being, you know, because we've done all sorts of actions during our life, then, and if one is stronger than the other, then that one will probably ripen at the time of death. If they're both of equal strength, then the one that's more habitual will probably ripen at the time of death. Okay, so we can have more than one definite karma, but it doesn't mean they all ripen at one time. Kind of which one is stronger, which one is more habitual, you know, the whole, which one gets fertilized at that particular time. Okay. And like I was saying, you can have definite karma, either definite karma for a lower rebirth or definite karma for an upper rebirth, But then if you do something to counteract that or to put some obstacle or interference with it, then that definite karma can be obstructed. So, you know, if you have definite karma to be born in the lower realms, but you start doing purification, like you do the nune practice, okay, and then maybe you feel a little bit sick during the nune, or, you know, I mean, I always wonder if I'm purifying because I generally feel okay when I do it. You know, it's like, you know, what's wrong with me? yeah. So then that can interfere with the ripening of that definite negative karma. Or if you have a definite positive karma, you know, some positive action you did that's pretty definite to be reborn, let's say as a human being or in the God realm, but then you get really, really angry, you know, and then by the force of your anger, the force of your wrong views, then you impede the ripening of that positive karma. Again, you know, definite karma isn't cast in concrete. There's other factors that influence it. And definite karma, in general, it ripens in one of three time periods. First of all, some of it can ripen in this life, or it can ripen in the very next life, like the next one we have, or it can ripen in two, you know, the life after the next life, our second life, and then all the ones after that. So in one of these three categories. So for karma to ripen in this lifetime, it's usually very strong karma. Okay? So a lot of what we're experiencing in this lifetime is due to our previous rebirths. Yeah? And of course some of what we experience, the karma that's ripening in this rebirth is due to things we did in this rebirth, but it's usually very, very strong actions. Okay, so for example, if you did a negative action out of extreme attachment for your body or your possessions or your life, or you did a positive action with extreme generosity in terms of your body, your possessions, and your life, then that kind of action can ripen in this lifetime. Yeah, it's a very strong one. It has a strong intention. Or an action that has a very strong object. Okay? Like, let's say you swear at a bodhisattva and criticize a bodhisattva, then that's fairly heavy stuff, and that can ripen in this very lifetime. Similarly, if you make offerings to a bodhisattva, then it can also ripen in this very lifetime. Okay? So any kind of actions that we do that are very strong in terms of powerful objects, like Buddhas, bodhisattvas, our spiritual teachers, the Triple Gem, you know, the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, then those things can ripen in this lifetime. And this is one of the reasons why the tantric practice is said to be very effective for attaining enlightenment in this lifetime, because through it you can create a lot of this kind of karma, a lot of the karma that ripens in this very lifetime. Yeah, so it can bring enlightenment in this lifetime. So actions that also have a very strong malicious intention towards sentient beings, or a very strong compassionate attitude towards them. You know, so the strength of the intention, you know, also towards sentient beings can determine, you know, can make something ripen this lifetime rather than other lifetimes. Okay? So in general, if it's an action with a very strong intention, if it's done towards a powerful object, if it's done repeatedly over a long period of time, okay, then the preparation, the intention for it took a long time, then those kinds of things can ripen in this lifetime. Okay? So we could probably make some examples from our life of very strong actions, positive and negative, that could easily ripen in this lifetime. And that may give us a little bit more enthusiasm for purifying, yeah? And also some enthusiasm for rejoicing also. Thinking about that is quite helpful in that way. Okay? But then we can also see that there's a lot of actions that we've done that haven't been strong in terms of how long they've been done, or the length of the preparation, or our intention, or who we did them towards. And so those things are probably going to ripen, you know, either in the second category, the very next lifetime, or the second lifetime after that. Okay? So all of these can be definite at karmas. Okay? But like I really want to emphasize, you know, nothing's pre-programmed. And like His Holiness, somebody once asked His Holiness, you know, if you could tell the future, you know, if you could read the karma and tell the future. And His Holiness said, well, you never really know what's going to happen until it happens. Yeah? So you can get some strong indications, you know, of the way something's flowing, but you're never sure what's going to happen until it's actually happening.